Blog Talk Radio.
Imaginable.
No, it's not. Their music, you have to admit, was often very, very depressing. And the only person who I can compare them to that people youngsters might know is Lana Del Rey. Lana Del Rey be talking about jumping off of bridges and all kinds of crazy stuff. I'm like, you know what? Somebody curse some Thorazine or something. Xanax. Stat.
I don't even know who that person was that you just mentioned. That's how old I am.
Right. I know, because I heard the kids playing it. That's how I know. But anyway, back to the situation at hand. Escape is the shit.
Well, you know, I don't doubt anything you ever tell me, except, you know, this whole scandal thing.
And you know what? You're going to regret that eventually.
Yes, eventually. Eventually.
Because I told you about House of Cards. Boom.
You keep telling me, and I keep telling you, my neighbor told me, but maybe you told me, but I don't remember you telling me. I remember you telling me about Scandal.
No, I told you about House of Cards, too. I told you about Walking Dead. You won't get into that one. I told you about Justified.
Won't do Justified.
Justified is good. I don't care what nobody says.
Not going to do it. Not going to do it.
Nielsen ratings agree with me, so...
I don't say they're not bad. I don't say they're bad. I just, you know, I may possibly, could be, maybe, there is a possibility that I will get into Breaking Bad in a couple of weeks after Game of Thrones is done for the season.
Yeah, I started Breaking Bad like over the summer, this last summer, and I just haven't had time for it. But I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna binge watch it, and I know I'm like 5 years late, but I'm gonna binge watch it.
Yeah, I may do that. I've gone reverse old school and gotten back into Rome, which was probably one of the better series HBO ever did, and canceled way too prematurely. Excellent series. And I have no qualms about saying it was an excellent series.
You know what? All that sniffling you're doing is just really wearing me out because it is currently 87 degrees here. I don't understand. What is it, 30 there again?
Okay, so America, let me apologize now before Kamal and I get into this. I'm sick. I'm doing this show on one lung. I am troopering through this, so I apologize and please forgive all the sniffing and snorting that you hear, and my voice is not its normal dulcet, sexy tones. Which does not mean that any woman who wants it can't get 4 minutes of this highly sexually charged hotness that I bring to the table.
Can she rub out your belly?
but I am down. But I'm not out. I'm down, but I'm
Code
not
10.
Out.
Code 10. Man down. Code 10.
Brother down.
So pimp down. I'm sticking to the rack of pimp.
And see, all this ain't helping your cause. I just want you to know. All this ain't helping your cause, because the more I laugh, the crazier it's going to be.
But you know what? Since you're down, I got a question.
Here we go. Here we go, America. Get ready. Here we go.
Is it because Solange kicked you in the temple?
See?
Did you tangle with a bitch from Houston?
let me explain something. Jay-Z is a good man.
He is. And I have been very vocal in my support in him. Yeah, I was clowning and posting all those memes and stuff, but I made two points. One, if the situation were reversed, all hell would be breaking loose, number one. Number two, despite all the funnies and the memes, I have a problem with people calling him soft because he didn't go upside her head.
Right, because had he gone upside her head, then everyone would be calling for his head for abusing, for beating a woman.
Right. But that said, you know, we were clowning on Facebook yesterday.
You know what? Let me explain something to America. One of our guests who hasn't been on the show in a while because she's been banned, Missy.
Hi, Missy. I love you.
Missy better not listen to this and call in, because I'm telling you right now, Missy was about to get put in permanent timeout. She had me in stitches with the meme she was either finding or creating on this whole internet.
You know what? Missy has a JPEG and a GIF for everything.
Yes, Lord Jesus, yes.
And she was just, she was hot on the memes yesterday. And you know which one killed me? Now, I know she didn't make this one. She found this one. Here come your, what did he say? Here come your crazy auntie. Which one was it? Hold on. Here comes your punk-ass auntie.
Holding blue, right.
Right. I was done on that one. And then she found one of the bus driver, the Cleveland bus driver, that cold cocked that passenger, and it said she wouldn't have tried that shit on this bus.
See, and this is what I have to deal with, y'all. Y'all don't understand my pain. This is what I have to deal with.
And then I
between
found
Missy and Kamal.
Right. And you know what my favorite one was? That picture of Spike Lee with them glasses on and his hands on his hips.
Now, see, I haven't seen that one. Because, as you know, I posted on one of them. I ain't playing with y'all no more. I'm sick. I can't breathe. They had me laughing, laying on my side.
I couldn't.
Breathing became more important to me than y'all's foolishness.
And then somebody had altered Solange's Wikipedia page. And you know how it says occupation? They had, you know, singer, actress, street fighter, kickboxer, and they 100 problem.
See,
and you know what? I mean, really, we shouldn't be laughing about it. I mean, thankfully, nobody was hurt. And, you know, unfortunately, she's coming off a little crooked and crazy. I know, but you know what? I believe in my heart, right or wrong, that she was defending her sister for something. That's what I believe.
Yeah, but you didn't see, like, her sister. I mean, I know I'm not a Queen Bee fan, but I don't think Beyonce going to take too much from anybody, especially not Jay. So she didn't seem to be in any kind of distress at all.
No. I don't mean defending like, you know, he had put his hands on her. No. I mean like he had done something disrespectful or, you know, verbally disrespectful. I mean, it's a known fact that man is a cheater, point blank. And it's a known fact that he will call Beyonce a bitch in a minute. I believe he got off the side of his neck with her off of something. You know, maybe call, you know, why you being such a bitch or something like that. Or he was paying a little bit too much attention to somebody else's booty as Solange got with that program. That's what I mean by defending her.
Well, you believe what you want to believe. I want to believe that Solange said, what about my album? And Jay-Z said, I ain't got time for that shit. Get your ass on this elevator and have a glass of shut the hell up. And when the elevator door is shut, she snapped the F out.
Right. But you know what? I bet you nobody will fuck mess with her again. Because they learned, didn't they?
Well, you know, America, I do not condone in any way, shape, or form, a man putting his hands on a woman. Howsoever, I'd have knocked that heifer out. She'd have got chopped to the throat. I am the chief of the Slapaho tribe, and I ain't playing.
But you know what? You weren't going to go unscathed, let's just say that. Because
yeah,
the
you're
lines
probably right.
And it, she was in it until it was done. You hear me? Because she snapped like that. So you could have hit her. You know, you could have been. She could slap a hole if you want to. You both was going down dirty. Because she did. She
well,
was like,
and here's
I'm
the
gonna,
thing.
I'm gonna be here till it's done.
But here's the other thing with it. Everybody was trying to be chill with her about it. So the bodyguard was like, come on. Beyonce, you can see she was like, please settle this down. And even Jay was kind of backing up. So she's obviously one of those people that you try till you can't try anymore to, in some way, shape, or form, calm the situation until the situation can't be calmed anymore.
But you know what? I heard that's just how they roll. That Beyonce will get like that too. They will get crunk. That's what I heard. And you know that supports my other theory. Like they used to it. They used to. This was nothing new. Because that's just how they roll. He will get in Beyonce's face and call her a bunch of filthy names, and she will give it right back to him. And Solange is right there in the mix.
Well, if that's what it takes to get down, to be rich, to get down like that, I'm not for it. I'm going on record now and saying I don't want to play in the rich people's pool. So let's go from that foolishness to talk about your godfather Donald Sterling.
You know what? You know what? First of all, don't start. You're going to start, I'm going to say something, and you're going to start coughing and choking. But.
Go ahead, please. I beg, I beseech thee.
I mean, I don't even really have anything pithy to say at the moment. Other than, you know, it was like, I don't understand why he's so jealous of Magic Johnson. I mean, he has it. He was going in on him. And, you know, he was saying, Magic Johnson was looking with women in every city, and now he has AIDS. He has HIV, by the way, not AIDS. Sterling, get it straight. And then at the same breath, you know, previously, he was saying that how many women he tries to sleep with. So it's like, are you pissed because Magic got him and you didn't? Do you understand you had a mistress while you're saying this? I mean, what are we talking about? Who looks up to, who to look up to? And, you know, he was like, you know, Magic Johnson doesn't do anything for the African-Americans. You know, Jews do more for Jews. Jews do more for African-Americans. You know, what has he done lately? And I was like, have you been to Magic Johnson Theater? Have you been to the Starbucks? I mean, you can say what you want about Magic Johnson, but he has upped the game in South Central Los Angeles for at least a good decade and a half now, bringing businesses to the community where the businesses would not build. I mean, his menu at his movie theater is genius. You know, people talk shit about, you know, going to the movie theater and looking at his menus. But you know what? Black people in South Central like Strawberry Santa. Sue us.
Well, let me just say, let me bring us a little bit full circle for a second. Usually, when someone is in trouble with the media, public relations issues, the best thing to do is have a publicist prep you before you start doing national interviews to try to rehab your image.
Right, and Anderson Cooper, no less.
Especially with Anderson Cooper. So, evidently, with great wealth comes great arrogance, because Donald Sterling went on Anderson Cooper, AC360, and to me presented a very clear-cut case as to his position. And as Cabal alluded to, let me give you a sample of his impenetrable defense.
I'm a good member who made a mistake, and I'm apologizing, and I'm asking for forgiveness. Am I entitled to one mistake? Am I, after 35 years? I mean, I love my league. I love my partners. Am I entitled to one mistake? It's a terrible mistake, and I'll never do it again.
The vice president of the NBA Players Association, Roger Mason, he said that the players won't accept anyone in the Sterling family owning the Clippers, not you, not your wife, not your son-in-law, not your daughter. Do you believe that?
I really don't know the people that are going to decide my fate. I think are not the media and not the players' union, but the NBA.
The owners.
Pardon me?
The owners.
The owners. If the owners feel I deserve another chance, then they'll give it to me.
But there is a path for you to fight their decision, isn't there?
Of course. But if you fight with my partners, what at the end of the road, what do I benefit, especially at my age? If they fight with me and they spend millions and I spend millions, let's say I win or they win, I just don't know if that's important.
Why wait so long to apologize? It's been a couple of weeks. You could have come out.
That's a very good question. I'm so emotionally distraught. And the reason it's hard for me, very hard for me, is that I'm wrong. I caused the problem. I don't know how to correct it.
Do you trust people? I mean, there have been a couple of phone recordings just in the last week or two that have come out of people you've talked to on the phone, or it seems to be your voice, who then sold it to, you know, Radar Online or TMZ. And I hear that and I think, do you have anyone you trust around you?
I don't give interviews. The only one that I know that I talked to is Magic Johnson.
You have talked to him?
Twice. And then,
Did you apologize?
He knew the girl, he said. He knew the girl well.
Did you apologize to him? Or?
Well, if I said anything wrong, I'm sorry. He's a good person, and he... What am I going to say? Has he done everything he can do to help minorities? I don't think so. But I'll say it, you know. He's great. But I just don't think he is a good example for the children of Los Angeles.
So the line that was used that always sticks in my craw when someone says things that they did not want to get out is, if I said anything offensive, I apologize.
Or if I offended you,
right.
I apologize.
But there is question as to you did say something offensive to everyone who is, I don't know, a thinking, upright human. There's no if. You wouldn't be in trouble if it was an if. You would not be losing your team if there was a doubt as to whether or not you said something offensive.
Right.
That's number one.
That puts it on the person that you're apologizing to. You know what I mean? It's not saying, you're not taking responsibility for what you said. What you're saying is, oh, I'm sorry you're so sensitive that you couldn't handle the little joke.
Right.
So I apologize.
Right. And there is no gray area. There is no gray area when you insult not just a person. You're talking about an entire race. Now,
right, and you know what? I felt like he was sitting in his seat waiting for, you know, good Steven, I don't know, Toby, to bring him his slippers and his pipe.
Probably.
And I don't buy, you know, I'm so tired of people making excuses for him because clearly he has dementia. Okay, fine. But, you know, I'm not a doctor. I just play one on television. I think, personally, with no medical background, that what happens when a person gets dementia isn't necessarily that they wake up one morning and just decide that they hate black people. They always hated black people, but once you get dementia, you lose the capability of putting that filter up. You know, you start saying stuff out loud that you used to just think about. And I believe that to be the case with Donald. I believe that he has always had these feelings. And, you know, and he just, because he's coming down with Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever, he no longer has the ability to shut that stuff down before it comes out of his mouth.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to disagree with you on one point. Based on what he said, one, I think the whole dementia thing for him is just an out. Because as you and I both know, though he disputes it, clearly, this was not his one mistake.
No, not at all.
He has been documented saying things like this in the past. He had the largest, at the time, the largest civil suit filed against him for discriminatory practices in housing, and because he refused to rent his properties to...
What I'm saying is, if he had sat down with Anderson Cooper 10 years ago or 12 years ago when that lawsuit was happening, I bet you he would have had the common sense not to say what he said. Because he still had that filter.
That's possible, but 10 years ago, when the suit was filed, he said his reason for not wanting to rent to blacks and Hispanics is because they smell bad. They smell
funny.
Right,
but he didn't say that on national television.
No, because the whole thing was artfully. Worked by his publicity people. I mean, not a lot of people were aware of who Donald Sterling was 10 years ago. I clearly remember the case that his coach filed against him for saying that the whole organization was set up like a plantation.
Yeah, I must not be artfully saying what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say at the bottom line is he did not wake up a racist 5 weeks ago, which is what people are saying. Because he said this stuff because he had dementia. And what I'm saying is, no, you don't just wake up with dementia. You don't get dementia and then one day you start harboring, you know, homophobic and racist thoughts. You had them all along.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with that. I just don't think if a microphone had been placed in front of him 10 years ago, he would have been any less cognizant of what he was saying. I think he would have said it then. He says it now. And I mean, again, this is all taken in context of him today. But to follow up on his comments on magic, which you were talking about, play another section of his interview, another short part of his interview, so everyone can hear exactly what his feelings are about Magic Johnson, who he's talked to, according to him, he's talked to twice since this whole incident took place.
What has he done? Can you tell me, big Magic Johnson, what has he done?
Well, yes, he's a business person.
He's got AIDS. Did he do any business? Did he help anybody in South L.A.?
Well, I think he has HIV. He doesn't actually have full-blown AIDS. But...
Well, what kind of a guy goes to every city, has sex with every girl, then he catches HIV? And is that someone we want to respect and tell our kids about? I think he should be ashamed of himself. I think he should go into the background. But what does he do for the black people? Doesn't do anything. You call up and say... Well,
he's opened a lot of businesses in inner city neighborhoods.
The Jewish people have a company, and it's for people who want to borrow money and no interest. They want to give them a fishing pole. We want to help people. If they don't have the money, we'll loan it to you. You don't have interest, one day you'll pay us back. So I'm just telling you, he does nothing. It's so, all talk.
So are you saying that African Americans don't contribute to their to African American communities as much as Jewish
There's
people?
There's no African American. Never mind. I'm sorry. I they all want to play golf with me. Everybody wants to be with me.
Okay, so
and at that point, his nurse came in and wiped the spittle out the corner of his mouth. He's crazy as hell.
But his publicist jumped out of the window at that point. Had to have.
Right.
Like, okay, you're so popular that all the black people want to play golf with you. Everyone wants to be with you. Are you sure you're not Donald Trump? Because both of you are smoking that wacky weed. And can someone please tell me the name?
Why has he focused on magic so much? I don't understand. What did magic ever do to him? Did he turn down?
Magic was seen with his woman. Magic was seen with his woman.
Did he turn down an offer for the Clippers back in 82? What?
Magic was seen with his woman. It's that simple. You can't. Okay, first of all, we understand what he's doing is transference. The issue isn't me. It's Magic. Magic can't be man enough to accept my apology. Magic can't be man enough to understand that I'm just joking. Magic can't be man enough not to be seen with my woman. Magic hasn't done anything for the black community. Magic isn't man enough because Magic is, you know, an African-American. And you African-Americans... None of you all care about your community. None of you all care about anything you do. And this is what's really striking to me. As we discussed before, historically, throughout the 60s, the 50s and 60s, and probably even before then, when the society that we live in now was the society that we had back then, short, Jewish people in a lot of cities considered themselves better than blacks, but the WASPs of this country considered themselves better than any of us and didn't consider the Jews any better than blacks.
Right.
And Jewish people worked.
No.
Exactly.
Redlining housing developments. No blacks, no Jews, no
business developments. Exactly. And blacks and Jews, for the most part, worked together to try to make things better. And I'm not saying black people aren't guilty, but it seems like some of these extremely well-off Jewish people, Donald Sterling is one of them, and I'm not trying to group all of these people together, but people like Donald Sterling seem to think, I don't need your people. So I can talk badly anytime I want to about your people, even though I would not have a product to sell from an NBA standpoint if it were not for your people. You know, he's insane in the extreme, and I don't give any Ice Cube's credence to his craziness being new.
And you know what? At the end of the day, he can say what he wants. He's 80 years old. Uh-oh. You lost the lung.
That's okay. I'm already operating on half of one anyway.
He can say what he wants. He's 80 years old, and he can't spend. He doesn't have enough lifetime left to spend all his money. So,
even if he wanted to, he couldn't.
Right. So it's like, you know, what's he got to lose? They already took the team from him, so he just going to come out balls to the wall. Honey Badger don't care.
Right. Honey Badger doesn't care. And he's acting as if he has recourse. This is what kills me. He keeps saying at the end of the day, his fate will be decided by his partners in the NBA. Your fate has already been decided by the commissioner of the NBA and ratified by the membership of the owners. You are done. You're done.
Yeah, that's a wrap.
It's a wrap. And since he's not willing to fight in court, of course that could be a smokescreen. And since he's not willing to appeal this, or doesn't appear to be willing to appeal his suspension, it's clear to me that he cares not about his image. It's just, woe me, poor me, I've only made one mistake. I'm not entitled to one mistake. Well, yeah, you used your one mistake up a long time ago there, sport. And you're not new to this. People have been calling you out on this for years. For years, the Clippers were so bad of a team that people like me who've barely follow the NBA but have a local team, which is the Wizards, always considered the Clippers the one game that we could guarantee that the Wizards would win because they were playing the Clippers. Now you have a product that's selling, that's successful, and you can't help but screw it up.
Right. And you know what? I mean, at the end of the day, his wife and maybe his kids have the most to lose, because the more he runs his mouth, I think the more he devalues his team financially. If I was his wife, I don't care. You know what? I might have to almost smother him with a pillow. I just might. Sit your ass down somewhere and don't say another word, or I will keep. I pulled the pillow off at 20 seconds. Talk some more. You got 30 seconds of the pillow.
Right. But here, you know, it's what's really interesting about this. This man is a multi-millionaire, billionaire. A billionaire. He doesn't need the team for his income. The team will be taken away from him. It will be sold, and he will gain the profits on the sale. And it will be profits. It will be huge profits on the sale. Just shut up and go away.
Right. He could have had, you know, 800 million. Keep running your mouth.
Just
up, it'll be 500 million. Now, to us, shoot, that's a lot of money. But to him, and to him at 80, that's a drop in the bucket.
Right, it should be no money.
Right.
But as I said in the write-up, he just continues to try to take the most despicable human award from George Zimmerman by just keep yo-yoing himself back into our mainstream psyche, because he just won't shut up. Why would he not say to Anderson Cooper, no, I'm not going to interview. Let's let it go. You know, I'm not,
right.
I don't have anything to say that would help my cause, so I'm going to let it go. Just, I'm going to walk away and, you know, I'm going to go walk the earth like the Kung Fu. Leave me be.
Right. Walk the earth. He's going to pick up a hot pot with his forearm.
Right. Which, I hate to say this, I hate to say this, but his face looks like he picked up a hot pot with his face. Because I've never seen anybody that had bags that had hinges on them under their eyes like his does. That is just, man. Just something.
And you know what? That's his hubris. That's his hubris. Because he feels like, you know, he doesn't deserve the loss of his team. He feels like, you know, he's being persecuted. And he can sit up on AC360 and say whatever he wants. And, you know, it doesn't matter. Because, you know, the blacks don't help the blacks anyway. Yeah, he needs to go out and sit on the ranch with Bundy.
You know, I was just getting ready to see. If he may feel like he's right because Bundy is saying whatever the heck he feels like saying, and he's still got people defending him. He still has people who are willing to come out
that.
And say, yes, the man has a right to continue to steal from the government and just let it be.
I don't even understand that. I don't understand how those people, those militia people, are allowed to keep terrorizing those citizens. I know that, you know, they are staying on his land, and as such, nobody can come in and take them away as long as he's giving them permission to be on his land. But I tell you what, they are like setting up checkpoints on freeways and or interstate highways, whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
No, that's unacceptable. You're not going to come in here and terrorize my citizens and ask for ID. Who the F you think you are? I would be on the phone with Eric Holder. I need your tanks. I need a few drones. I would call the president of Mexico. I need you to send over everybody. You know, I need everybody. No, I mean, really? What is wrong with these white folks?
Well, what kills me is they're so willing to swallow anything being pushed down their throats by their friends on Fox News, who tell them how to think, when to think, and to what degree of thinking is necessary.
And you know what? Speaking of Fox News, I'm going to need somebody from the families of the four people we lost in Benghazi to speak out and say, you know what, stop politicizing the death of my loved one. I don't want another hearing. Let him rest in peace, please. Because every single time you do this, it's another knife into my heart and the heart of my children. Stop it. That's what
We have a caller that wants to make a comment. Please, caller, bring some sanity to this conversation that we're having.
Well, you rolled past the subject I wanted to comment on, but I'm going to have to bring it back up, okay?
Please do.
I want to first commend Kamal. She's the only other person I heard make the comment that I've believed all along, that Sterling had the rant because of jealousy. He was sitting there, as Gladys Knight would say, with some girl born yesterday. And when you make the comparison to all of the quote-unquote black people she would be around, he went into a rage. It was jealousy. And I truly believe you all are doing him more good by giving his situation so much time on the air. It's clear, and his wife said it today, that she believes, his soon-to-be ex-wife, she believes that he has Alzheimer's, and that's the second thing, Kamal, I want to give you credit for. The man is not only suffering with rapid dementia. He's in a jealous rage. He's lost control of his sanity. It's all over for him. It's done. Nobody has to comment. He's making all the comments himself. He is showing himself for what he really is, a pathetic old man whose day is over, and he took himself down, and he's trying to act as if he has some sympathy, which doesn't even come across as sincere. So I'm glad that you are now on another subject. I've been wanting to say this, and I'm glad you gave me a venue to express that the old man was just jealous. He couldn't handle it.
You are welcome to come on any time. Now, can I ask you a question? What do you think he's jealous of?
He was sitting there with his girlfriend who looks like she was just born yesterday. Anybody she pays attention to. And the photos, while I did not look at them very carefully, could have shown her being more warm and fuzzy with Magic Johnson than Donald Sterling could be comfortable with. She didn't just start having opportunities to be photographed with other people. This man knows that this woman is out of his league. And if you're having a romantic liaison with a married rich man who is, and he's older than 80, was she trying to get ready to get out? Come on. You look at her, you look at him, you look at the situation, and he lost it on the most known grounds in the world. Jealousy. He could not handle it.
Well, as we've said before, over a period, the period of their dating, he had given this woman close to $2 million, which is probably just a drop in the bucket to him. It's like 10 cents out of your pocket. Now, whatever she was doing for that $1.8 million, she was doing so well that the wife, who knows about his discretions, got it on her radar to say, I want my money back. Come up with the cash, girlfriend. Right? So he asked the girl for the money back. She said no. And the wife said, we'll sue her to get the money. I'm sure this woman, as lecherous as she was, wasn't taking the money and putting it under her mattress. I'm sure she spent it well. So as we have detailed before on the show, she took the money and could not pay it back, but she could pay him back. So in order to show what she's going through, and she's no Rhodes Scholar by anyone's stretch of imagination. She's a little three Fruit Loops short of a full bowl anyway. She releases these tapes to show that he's crazy and to put him in a bad light. I think it's all not political, but I think it's all going to be settled monetarily between her and the wife. I think.
Well, the marriage, they have not been together in quite a while. Their being apart isn't because of this relationship he has with this girl who was just born yesterday. But the other thing of it is, when you stop and think about it, it would seem in the way I grew up and the way I would roll, quote unquote, this relationship, she made her decision a long time ago about how this relationship was going to benefit her. She's been taping for forever. That wasn't
right.
The first tape.
According to him, he asked her to record all his conversations because he's forgetful. He needed verification on things he said or didn't say. So he put himself out there.
He trusted beyond reason.
Yep.
He trusted beyond reason. But all of that to say, thank you for letting me have my say. Kamal, I agree with you. It's jealousy. And you guys can now go forth with the rest of your show. Thank you for letting me have my say. And Yael, do you know who this
welcome.
Is?
You're welcome. You can come in anytime.
Well,
I don't know about any time, but she's welcome. She's welcome.
He agreed with
as
me.
Long
she
as...
could come in 24/7.
Kamal, do you know who this is?
Can I call
no,
my
ma'am.
Mother? Can I call? Let me tell you something, Kamal. Don't make me get all menudo on you and make a phone call.
Is this mom? Hi. You most certainly
Hello,
come
sweetheart.
Up anytime.
Well, I kept pushing one. They say push one, and the hostess will know that someone wants to come in. I hung up, and I dialed another number, and by the time it got through, you all were down talking about the other subject. And I said, I don't care. I still want to say my piece because I've been saying it from day one. And you may not remember the song that Gladys Knight was singing, but she did talk very, very clearly about the relationship she had ending because the man got involved with some girl born yesterday. So I'll send you, I'll
know
send
that
you a
song.
Copy. All right. Okay.
Oh, you know that song. So, you know that song. You try to say you don't know songs that were recorded by Lakeside back in the early 80s, but you can remember a song by Gladys Knight in 1969. Girl, you ain't 25.
No, it wasn't that far back. No.
Between me and your mama, just hush.
Yeah, that song was in the 90s. But anyway. You all want another subject that probably holds greater interest for your listening public. I'm going to tune out now because I don't want to hear any more about the Bundys. Between the Bundys and the Sterlings, I need to watch something safe and listen to something soft and safe for a while.
Okay,
well, we
Mom,
won't be talking about Bundy or Sterling anymore. We're going to go into a more realistic subject. The Republicans and their belief that Hillary Clinton put Monica Lewinsky up to releasing her article at this point in time to help her campaign in 2016. It never ceases to amaze me that they will come up with anything they can say to try to give validity to their crazy. They're crazy. It's all this. They're crazy. I can't even say they're crazy thoughts. It's they're crazy. You're going to try to tell me.
Politics makes strange bedfellows. Now they are all over Rose because he allegedly said that she had brain damage. Hillary had brain damage. It's a game written by those people who are in the game. We can only speculate, and you all can create great radio blog shows speculating what these things really mean. It's UFD. Please, thank you, and please carry on with your show.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye. Have a good evening, Mom.
All right. You as well.
Kamal, we have another caller from area code 405. Do you have something to say, caller?
Hi, Yale. This is Yvonne Charbonneau. I'm an old friend of yours.
Oh, my God. Kamal,
oh, my God.
Let me just tell you something.
How
let
are
me tell you
doing?
Something. Let
What's
me
that?
Tell you something. Kamal.
Yo.
The woman on the line now has known me since high school.
Actually, yeah, probably earlier than that.
No, because I moved to Columbia when I was in high school.
And, that's right.
She moved to the Great Midwest so she could cause hurricanes and tornadoes across the state. But anxious to hear what you have to say, Yvonne Charbonneau.
Yes. Yeah.
Always loved that name. I had to sing for her name.
I always loved yours. Remember, I always told you that I always went Yale Beverly instead of Yale, Yay Beverly. Yale, Yay Verily.
Yay Verily. That was, yes. That's what, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, which subject are we talking about right now?
Well, we're getting ready to talk about the Republicans and their belief that Hillary Clinton put Monica Lewinsky up to releasing her article and Vanity Fair.
That's very interesting. I wouldn't imagine that would be very good for her campaign for president, would it? I mean, would that bring up old wounds? It just seems.
Well, you have to understand, Kamal is an avid watcher of Scandal. I'm an avid watcher of of House of Cards. Conspiracies can happen anywhere. However, this is some shiggity that I can't even get my head wrapped around. But
some bullshiggity.
Some extreme bullshiggity. From what I gather from watching some of the talking faces, I'm not going to call them talking heads on Fox because they don't have a brain, but some of the talking faces on Fox is if they put this out here now, they being the Democrats, it'll generate enough sympathy for Hillary in 2016 that she'll get votes that she wouldn't normally have gotten.
It is a very well-timed article or book, whatever Monica Lewinsky has released. It's you know, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's very well-timed, but why all of a sudden now? Is she out of money? She doesn't need to repair her reputation because we've all forgotten about her. You know, Linda Tripp needs to repair her reputation. She's just I don't know what to say about the whole thing. I was just going to comment on Donald Sterling and his antics and tirades. He's just I do believe that he was led on in that conversation and coaxed, but the man has no business owning an NBA team or businesses in general. He's a fool. And, you know, me being an avid Thunder fan, go Thunder. I got to get my man Kevin Durant in there.
You know what? I'm going to have to hang up on you.
Oh, here we go.
Stole.
Here we go.
Yes. Ooh. So I was wondering if this was going to come into play. Evidently, there was a team in Seattle at the time that had a guy named Sean Kemp after he left, they sucked, so they had to move to Oklahoma to become good again. That's not what happened.
No. Here we go.
So I don't follow the NBA. I'm just going by what
I think. That's not what happened. That's not what happened, and you know it. You got my sugar and my blood pressure up.
We have a very young team, a very talented team. I've been fortunate enough and blessed enough to meet Mr. Westbrook in person. Told him he was my idol, nearly fell over on the floor when I met him. I haven't met Durant yet, but I met Cephalosha and I met DeAndre Liggins and Kevin Martin when Kevin was on the team. And DeAndre, of course, is an idiot. But, back with the Donald Sterling thing, you know, what? How did this never come to light before? How did he manage to circumvent all of his prejudices and biases with, you know, his being an owner? You know, how did nobody pick up on this? So,
but
everyone knew. They did know. It's
just
that money talks, and bullshit walks. And in the grand scheme of things, this was bullshit because it didn't affect the bottom dollar, and the bottom dollar is putting behinds in those seats at the stadium, putting endorsement money into the NBA and the image of the NBA as a whole, because most of everything else he did, with the exception of his treatment of Elgin Baylor, was in his private business, his private world. And they could easily draw the line of distinction between him as an owner and him as a businessman. So now his comments are directly related to his NBA ownership.
Right.
And but before, even 10 years ago, the ability to spread the word across hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of eyes, sets of eyes in a matter of mere moments was not there. So now, if he'd have said, if this had happened 10 years ago, it would have been a big fuss, a big harangue, but I don't know that he would have been banned from the NBA like he's been done this time.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the the racism is brought more into the front, you know, now as opposed to 10 years ago, but it's always been there, obviously. But for some reason, this woman, another well-timed person, has come out and exposed this guy, and I don't know, obviously she's in it for the money, but what spurned it all? What made her decide, okay, I'm just going to, you know, put him out there? I mean, did he piss her off somehow? And the other thing I was wondering about is how you all feel about the whites.
TMZ wasn't around 10 years ago.
That is right. That is very correct. But what do you?
I'm here to
tell you.
I'm here to tell both of y'all. I'm here to tell both of y'all. You give me $1.8 million over 2 years, and then tell me you want it back. I'm gonna dig up all kinds of dirt and put you out in the public.
I guess
you ain't
right.
getting your money.
I guess you're right.
But you know
you ain't getting that 1.8.
I think that she's making a good point though, because you know, over the past 10 years. I'll say even the past year and a half, demonizing women is in the forefront. With Sandra Fluck.
Right.
And all of that. And I think that that has something to do with it because, you know, people are shaming her and blaming the victim, but not like they did before.
They're,
absolutely
I think they're
right.
more interested in the story, into the story. It's like, oh, wow, she exposed him. She'll be, you know, gone in a hot minute. But now they've got this guy to focus on, and they're really, really trying to step up and make sure everybody is politically correct and we don't have
right.
any views. And I think everybody has got or has had at one time some sort of a racist view. Maybe it was, it's not, you just... You don't try and make it a negative thing, but sometimes things pop in your head, and I think it's our culture. We see stuff on the TV, and we're going, yeah, that's right, you know, illegal immigrants shouldn't be in Arizona. But then you really think about it and go, well, wait a minute. These people have families. They want to come to our country and make a really good life for themselves. So why am I so hated on these people? Because the media is telling me to be. I don't know.
But, you know, I grew up in Southern California, and I can't tell you how many times in my entire lifetime, all 25 years, Yale, that I would hear, you know, they're coming over here to take our jobs. And at that time, most of the migrant people were working in the fields. And, you know, they weren't taking my job because I wasn't getting ready to go out and pick lettuce. I'm sorry. And
right,
I'm not trying
exactly.
to say that every Hispanic person who came over the border was, you know, a farmer or, you know, or a maid or a janitor. But the scapegoating of Hispanics in that part of the world, of the country, has been around for a long time. And it was especially bad in San Diego because we bordered Mexico. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. I mean, and, you know, I took part of it in some regards because, you know, I remember my mom's friends, you know, we would be on the freeway and comments would be made, you know, if you see a Hispanics in a car, get away because they don't have no insurance. They're just going to go back over the border. I worked at UCSD, and I remember people would complain because a lot of the Hispanic people were indigent. And they would go to UCSD if they ever had a problem. And people were saying, well, my insurance rates are going up because we got to pay for all those Mexicans who go to the emergency room. And this was like in the 80s, the early 80s, I remember hearing all this stuff. Even though I'm only 25, shut up, Yale.
Yeah, man.
Youngin'.
Yeah.
I could be her grandmother if I lived in, in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
You could be her grandmother if you lived on 24.
Right.
But Yvonne,
so
you
many...
know what? To Kamal's point, and true enough, you know, people who listen to the show locally, and you will probably remember Meriwether Post Pavilion as well.
Hell yeah, I used to live behind it.
Right,
and I worked there too.
Right, and you from working there. As a security person or working the vendor booth or whatever, at the end of the show, every night, end of the show, the people working there would line up from one side of the field, the open air part of the state of the venue, and walk across the lawn and pick up all the trash. And I've told the story in the show before. It would be midnight, and we're out there with flashlights picking up trash and unmentionables,
right,
and, you know, filling bags up and then putting them off to the side so they could be collected the next morning. But after we finished our job, the Hispanic workers who worked for Brickman, which is a landscaping company, I don't know if they're on the West Coast, Kamal, they hire almost exclusively Hispanic workers. You know, we would leave things like toothpicks and you know, matches and cigarettes and little small stuff. We couldn't see it. Plus it'd be too tedious. We're like, we're not picking that up. We're getting the big stuff, the cups,
right,
the boxes,
right,
the bags. So even when we were finished, there was still a lot of that little stuff on the lawn. And they would bring the Brickman people in at like old dark 30 in the morning, all that up. And I was insulted enough that I had just finished busting some heads, keeping people from jumping over the fence, and now I'm all hot and sweaty and in some cases bloodied. Now I got to pick up trash?
Right.
For minimum wage?
My experience was, and I went to culinary school, I worked in kitchens, I was a chef, and I've never worked with, and this is so, I guess, cliche, but I've never worked with harder people in my life. I mean, they worked so hard. They had sometimes three jobs. And they worked faster and more efficiently than any white person in the kitchen. They were like the hardcore, you know. And then you see these guys, they come in and they work on these roofs. We had our roof replaced about a year ago. And they work all day long in this hot summer sun, and they're doing it for maybe a flat rate a day. But if anybody ever tells you that, you know, Hispanics are lazy, that's such bullshit. I mean, I've never seen a harder working people. I remember I worked with this guy who was from Guatemala, and people would bring in stuff to him in the kitchen, and he'd go, okay, I fix it. You know, I clean it. He didn't have any English language skills. But this guy would do everything, and they would bring it to him, and, you know, they knew it was shit work, and he would just do it happily because he knew that he was making money for him and his brothers to go back down to Guatemala and maybe open up a gas station or something like that someday. They didn't have any complaints. We, as lazy Americans, in my opinion, are like whining and bitching and moaning about doing these menial tasks. So, I don't know. I'm on the fence about everything. Sure, you know, they're maybe breaking a law by coming into the country, but is it that big of a deal? I mean, there are other laws that are out there that are being broken that should really be, you know, the attention should be paid to them. So,
everybody complaining, everybody of means complaining has Hispanic lawn care service or Hispanic living in their house and raising their kids.
Mm-hmm. Right. And there was a South Park episode where, you know, the Hispanics or the Mexicans, whatever they chose to focus on in the episode, they decided to quit one day. And then on the episode, they're like, come back to your jobs, get back over this border and go back to your lawn and go back to your pool. You know, it was kind of
a great, I want to call it mockumentary. It's, I believe it's called A Day Without Mexicans.
Yeah, and I think I've heard about that. Mm-hmm.
And it's an eye-opener. It's done tongue-in-cheek, but it's an eye-opener. You know, you sit down and watch that, and you realize just, you know, all the people in the background who make our lives easier.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. And,
you know?
And so much so that I'm just so proud of my co-host, Kamal, for being – so tolerant these days after growing up in Southern California and learning enough Spanish that when she goes to a Taco Bell, she can speak Spanish, or is it
Subway.
Dunkin' Donuts? Subway. She can speak Spanish to the Indian workers who were there, get insulted when they look at her like they don't speak Spanish.
I thought that woman was Mexican. I'm sorry.
Hey, listen, there is a flip side. There is a flip side to this, though. I worked at a catering company one time where I had to work with the most amazing woman. We called her Mama. She was probably in her 50s, and she was, you know, she had back trouble, leg trouble, whatever, diabetes, and she was just the coolest lady. However, she'd been in that company for 6 years and never learned a word of English. And one day my mentor chef told me she was going to train me on how to make a certain product. And I couldn't, you know, my Spanish is un poquito. And it was very difficult to talk to her and get her. She could show me the motions, but I still wanted to ask her questions. And so I'm thinking, well, you've been here, you know, maybe 10 years or more. Can you just learn a little bit of English? So that's my flip side of it. I don't have a prejudice against that because I love to learn other languages. But still, you're here and you're trying to do a job or teach me a job, and I really think that you should assimilate. So let's hear your thoughts on that.
I don't disagree. I disagree with English. I disagree when people say, you know, English only.
Oh, yeah. You should be able to speak that with your family. You want to make sure that they remember their culture, their background. I believe it's imperative. Because when my grandfather came over from Hungary and my grandmother came over from Czechoslovakia, they refused to teach my mother and her siblings how to speak their language because they wanted to talk about them. And they wanted them to not have an accent, and they wanted to make sure that they assimilated into the life of America. So she never learned a word of what they were speaking, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, I think the children should be bilingual only because it makes the children more marketable. You know, you could get all mm-hmm. kinds of jobs if you speak several languages. And I don't have a problem with, you know, like when you go in and take your driver's test, if the booklet is in your native language, I don't have a problem with that because even if you're learning mm-hmm. English, you know, there's still English is a hard language. I don't even speak it as well as I should. But, you know, I disagree with nobody better speak any other language but English. But I do think that just to make your life more enriched, you should – when in Rome, do as the Romans. I mean, if I'm going to go to Italy for any length of time, I'm going to try my best to learn the language.
Right. And it was not a prejudice against her. Well, wait, it wasn't a prejudice against her, but it was just the fact that, gosh, you know, Mama, I'm trying to communicate with you here. Can you at least pick up a couple of words? And it was very difficult. It didn't make me not like her or dislike her in any way. It was just very frustrating. It was like, geez, really?
But, you know, look at it from this standpoint. I mean, I have spoken to somebody who has lived here for years. She's Hispanic, and she tries to speak English. But mm-hmm. for her, it's not that she doesn't want to learn the language. It's that she already feels she's embarrassed because she doesn't feel she can speak it well. And so And she thinks that people will be impatient with her. And some people will. I mean, there are some rude people out there. You know, at some point, she really tried to speak English, and she got her words mixed up, and she wasn't, you know, she didn't sound right to herself. And so she's just like, mm-hmm. she's gun-shy now about trying to speak English.
Let me just add this to what you're saying, because Yvonne, I don't know at what age she came over here, but older people, of course, have, and by older, I mean anyone past 25, has a harder time learning another language if they move to another country, you know, especially mm-hmm. back in those days when you immigrate from the old country, so to speak, and you're in a community where you have other people that still speak the old language. You're less likely to try to pick up English. But that being said, today I think there is a large hypocrisy being perpetrated on people when you say we want you to only speak English. We want English to be the language for the United States. And then mm-hmm. you – and I've spoken about this for years the Hispanic community is the only immigrant community to have separate signage and labeling all over the place for them.
It is crazy because when you call up someplace and you're like, for English, press 1, para español,
right.
marque el 2, And it's okay. It's helpful to them, and I understand that, you know, it's somewhat difficult to learn the language, but, and actually, you know, the funny thing is that English has never been determined to be the primary language of the U.S. Nobody's ever put that in stone, you know, and this is all we speak here, you know, because it's a melting pot, but, you know, it is.
But I'll point out, if you go to Canada, things are written in English and French.
And French.
Right,
exactly.
But Canada, everything. Right, but Canada is a country that was settled by the English and the French. So,
mm-hmm.
right? So, are mm-hmm. you going to see things in Spanish in Canada? I don't know. They won't let me in because I won't smuggle in apples. I don't know.
No, I remember being in Vancouver, Canada, and all the TV shows were either in English or French. The news programs were in French, and, you know, okay, I got you. Go ahead.
Okay. So, but in this country, as you said, it's a melting pot, and we've had Asians immigrating into this country for centuries. The Chinese built
mm-hmm.
the railroads. Obviously, Africans built the backbone of this country through slavery.
Built the White House. I mean, come on, really?
Right. You've got Italian Americans or Italians that came over. You've got the Irish, which, you know, all through the history, the Germans, there's always been an influx of a different immigrant group throughout the history of this country. But never in the history of this country has it been made so easy for another group to come in and feel comfortable as if they never left their home country,
mm-hmm.
except for the Hispanics.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but my point is you can do that, but then if you make it that easy for them, then you can't say they should come over here and learn English, because you're inviting them in. You're inviting them in, and you're making it comfortable for them, and you're saying
mm-hmm.
you don't have to learn English. Trust me.
Yeah.
If the opportunities were not here, which they are, because as we've all three articulated, there are jobs that we're not going to do
mm-hmm.
that they will readily do. But if the opportunities were not here and the ease of which it is set up for them to stay in own click, speaking Spanish, reading labels Spanish, knowing signage in Spanish, if all that
mm-hmm.
were not as it is, then the influx would not be as strong as it is. Not saying they wouldn't come over,
mm-hmm.
but they would. It's easy to be here. You know, I'm 5 foot
right.
six on a good day.
Mm-hmm.
If you send me to a store and everything is 6 feet up on the shelf, I'm not going to go to your store too often because I don't feel like dealing with it.
Right.
But you put things down
right.
on a level where I can pick it up, I'm going to go to your store all the time. Target, I hate you.
Right. Can I jump in for a second? There's 2 points I want to make. Well, hold on. There's 2 points I want to make. There is the fact that I have a friend that I worked with at a grocery store, and his name was Freddie. And he came over the border once. He was deported, and then he came back again. The guy is fluent in English. He told me the story about how he grew up in a this rural town where he had to wear two different shoes. You know, he was so poor that his family really, they couldn't afford clothing. He never went to school. He didn't even know how to read and write his own language. He could speak it. So I guess coming over here would be, you know, like nearly impossible. Oh, shit, now you want me to assimilate and learn English when I can barely read or write my own language. And the other thing I was going to say was that we're not the only country that has problems with immigration. I have some very dear friends that live in England, and their, if you will, Mexican problem is actually the Polish. The Polish come over, and I had a friend who just complained about the Polish. Oh, they come over and they take our jobs. And so it's like their little Mexican immigration problem. They had a problem with the Polish, which I found very interesting. It's like they're leaving Poland, they're going to England, they're trying to make a life for themselves. So we're not the only country that has a problem or, well, perceived problem with immigrants coming over. You know, there are other countries that have problems with maybe Nigerians or, you know, or the Dutch. I don't know. That's just kind of a stupid explanation because the Dutch stay in Holland. But, you know, every country has its own immigrants that come over, and they frustrate the, you know, the natural citizens of that country.
The indigenous population.
Yeah, the indigenous population. And so I think, you know, if you want to mature, you know, as a civilization, you might want to just try and accept everybody and, you know, help them assimilate. I mean, because, you know, no country is your own. Yeah, Holland can say all the citizens are Dutch and, you know, they get all the benefits. But what if a French person wanted to come over and just, you know, take up residency there? You know, it's very stupid to say, oh, only white people can come here to, you know, live in America, because that's, like, stupid. So I think it's such a hot topic. You know, I don't even know if I want to go into that. I just want to say Ghost Hunter again.
I used to like you.
You used to like me, and now you don't?
That's okay. Right. She'll like you again once.
What did I say that made you mad?
That's okay. She lives in Seattle, so.
Oh, I got you. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
You know, I have love for you. Don't hate, because we got the MVP. Thank you. Yale, who are you rooting for?
See, here's the thing.
I'm not
upset about that, because he totally deserved it. I'm just mad about the whole situation, because they really were, the Sonics really were stolen from us. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah.
He promised that they were going to stay. Next thing you know, they in Oklahoma. What?
Yeah, but that's happened a lot.
I'm
not mad at the good people of Oklahoma. I'm mad at that bastard that owns the team.
I'm not an NBA. I'm not an NBA fan. I don't care.
Well, you need to be.
Care.
You need to be.
I don't care.
Cool.
NFL. We had the draft. That's all that's important. God. We don't. Come
Please.
On. Have you switched over?
NFL. Look, NFL
yes.
takes like 40 minutes
okay.
to make one move. And NBA, you have a move every 26 seconds. You see action. Boom, 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 boom. It is incredible. It's fast moving. It's fast paced. At least you get something in the end of 26 seconds, or whatever
the clock is set to.
Yvonne, tells all the ladies.
I was getting ready to say that is my pickup line. that is my pickup line that's been working since my early 20s. I'm about to give you 26 seconds of the best loving you ever had, and then I'm going to pass out.
All right. Now. Hey, so what
26
is your team?
Seconds.
Are you the Ravens?
20...
Are you a Ravens
yes.
fan or what?
Yes, I
am. And
I'm
a Redskins fan or just
Ravens? No. No Redskins. All Ravens. All Ravens.
Okay.
All Ravens.
Okay.
But look, we don't have that much time left, so I want to get on the situation in Nigeria, and Yvonne, you're more than welcome to stay in, but I want to talk real quick
before you do that, because you mentioned the draft. You were right, because remember, and I was like, if he don't go in the fourth round, blah 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 blah, and you said, nah, he'll go about the sixth or seventh, and that's what he did.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
And let's talk about that real quick, and then we'll, you know, I'm torn.
Actually,
on this
the topic of the Nigerian children are way more important than anything we're discussing right now. Yeah, Kevin Durant's great, but
right.
these young ladies that have been kidnapped and obviously being physically and mentally tortured is, you know, it's above reproach. I don't know if America's going to get involved. I don't think people are like, no, let's not get involved, but. The Nigerian government knew, I think, something like 4 hours before that some shit was going to go down, and then now these girls are being married off. And the Taliban, interestingly, or Al-Qaeda, interestingly enough, is condemning the actions of Boko Haram?
Boko Haram.
Let me
finish with Boko Haram in that, but let me just real quick. Let's talk real quick about this issue, this social issue of our time. Kamal, yes, we talked about Michael Sam, Yvonne, maybe 3 months ago. Actually, it was in February. We were talking about Michael Sam being drafted. And Kamal was right. She felt like he should be drafted early, and I was on board with that too. I saw the kid's workout, and then I did some study on him. He is lucky to have been drafted in the seventh round, and there's only seven rounds in the NBA, in the NFL. Kamal. I am really just amazed about how much of an issue his being in the NFL has become. The kid cannot do anything without it making the national news. He can't show up at his press conference. He's a seventh round draft pick. That means he has no guarantee to make the team, and the odds are stacked against him doing much once he's, if he makes the team, especially his first
so
2 years.
So he's like a Tim Tebow. I mean, yeah, let's focus on the fact that he's gay. Oh, let's give him a shot in the NFL. But how does he
No, I mean,
up?
he earned I think he earned his right to be drafted in the seventh round.
Right.
Tim Tebow definitely did not earn his right to be drafted in the first round. However, you know, once you get in, all kinds of things can happen. It's just now everything that he does is being overly hyped, and you know, let the kid play and do what he does on his own merits as a football player, not on his merits as a gay football player or a gay man in America. Do what you can, make the team, and then we'll focus on that if need be. But in my opinion, at this point in his career, which is just starting, leave him alone and let's see what happens, because it's going to be hard enough to make the team without cameras following you around everywhere you go. Now, saying that, let's jump back on Boko Haram. Kamal, you do understand that a United States contingent is over there. So far, it's FBI negotiators. So far, it's surveillance aircraft and support people. But eventually, once they locate this camp, you know what's going to happen.
Night, night.
You can't come in. You can't put out a video showing your wretchedness and expect people to let it go. If you think that's how it's going to be, then you better ask Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. And what was the guy in Iraq who was cutting people's heads off? You can't put out too many videos. Yeah, you can't. You better be careful with how many videos you put out. Surveillance teams. And you can actually ask, what's his name in Colombia, in Bogota? Was what's the drug dealer in South America that they got?
The Sandinistas, Costa Nova,
The big one, and I'll remember by next week. I apologize, but the United States sent some people over there to deal with him too. He was.
Oh, Noriega?
No. Noriega's Panama. they did. You know, the kids on Entourage did the movie, and it bombed about him. But the United States sent a surveillance team over to augment what the country had, and that's what they're doing in Nigeria now. So, your cousin in his declarations of kill, 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 about to be dead, 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 and of the 280 some girls kidnapped, I'm thinking 278 of them are going to come out of this alive and well. It's a bad look. Don't post no videos showing where you are. Don't post no videos. We'll do this again in 7 days. I apologize. Maybe I'll be healthy by then, America. Kamal, love you.